When and what has prompted your run?
In our district, the hardworking families of Eastern North Carolina are really being left behind. If I were going to give a diagnosis to Washington, it'd be critical condition. As you recognize, I had worked as a VA provider, and I had seen patients caught up in near tragic delays. But the bottom line is, in Eastern North Carolina, in my patients, they were being left behind by a healthcare system that isn't set up to protect their health and well-being. So I'm very much running to fight for the hardworking families who deserve to have their shot at the American dream, to ensure that we have an economy that rewards hard work instead of just hoarded wealth, to ensure that people can count on healthcare as a fundamental right, which it should be in this country, and to ensure that everyone has access to clean air, land, and water that, again, should be fundamental rights.
You have said we are better than partisan extremism and polarization. How do you plan to handle that? What are the solutions there?
When it comes to the partisan climate that we're in right now, what we're finding is that people are sort of entrenched in their camps, that a lot of times Americans can be sort of tribal, and we think in terms of the way that we were raised or the party we were brought up in. But what I'm finding is that as people are struggling paycheck to paycheck, as they're concerned about healthcare, as they're concerned about cuts to public education and how that's going to affect their families, and with drinking water being contaminated, when it comes to those core things that are about our health and well-being, people are uniting around a vision of protecting our kids, keeping us safe, and really healing our divides is about ensuring that we have that conversation as Americans about those core things that we agree about, that are a part of our story with the founding fathers and the patriotic values that we used to all share.
Where do you stand on the Atlantic Coast energy exploration and drilling?
So unfortunately, when it comes to offshore drilling, I think what we're seeing is individuals who are willing to put the profits of the Koch brothers over the health and well-being of our families and our coast. As we recognize, the Atlantic Coast is the lifeblood of our economy right here. We have roughly $95 billion in GDP and 1.4 million jobs that are in clean industries like fishing, recreation, and tourism on the Atlantic seaboard. I lost, tragically, one of my extended family members in the Deepwater Horizon oil rig explosion. Dewey never got to meet his grandkids. He never got to walk his youngest daughter down the aisle because we needed to fuel our dirty addiction to fossil fuels. I'm fundamentally about the fact that we cannot be risking worker safety. We cannot be risking the clean jobs that we have existing, and that we should be protecting our way of life here in Eastern North Carolina.
As a physician, and you've touched on this before, what are your suggestions for the country's healthcare situation moving forward?
When it comes to healthcare, what I think has happened is over several generations, we've really allowed the profit motive to take over and for big pharma and the insurance lobbyists to get 100% of what they want, but leaving our patients behind. As a physician, I recognize, and many in particular who are in primary care, realize that if we prevent illness and if we fund chronic disease management and ensure that we keep people healthy longer, they stay in the workforce, we bring down healthcare costs globally. But all the incentives are set up around if you have a heart attack or a stroke, getting outstanding care. But if you need basic mental health care, basic substance abuse care, as we're facing the opiate epidemic, people are being left behind. What I propose when it comes to healthcare is that it should be a right in this country, which every other country in the developed world recognizes. And how I think we need to get there is that the Affordable Care Act really didn't go far enough to ensuring everyone is covered. We see that in North Carolina, where we didn't expand Medicaid. So I would be very much in favor of right now lowering the Medicare eligibility age to age 50, which would pull a lot of the sicker patients out of those private marketplaces, and also creating a public option so that, again, people who are younger, sicker, likely are going to opt into plans like that as government health care. And then as we expand Medicare in that way, I think we should be working towards a solution that will probably be Medicare for all Americans, so that we catch up with the rest of the world instead of paying the highest prices basically in the developed world for our healthcare and getting some of the worst outcomes.
In this region, as you know, Gen X and other compounds in the drinking water supply have been a big topic for almost a year now. How do you view the problem and how it's been handled so far?
I think what we're seeing with Gen X is that there are far too many politicians who are willing to put corporate polluter profits over the health and well-being of our family. You know, our kids should never be guinea pigs at the hands of a Fortune 500 company. But what's happened through the last few cycles is that my opponent being in the general being a prime example, he's taken money from the DuPont Good Government Fund, and he's been primarily funding his campaigns with corporate PAC and polluter money. And when that happens, then chemical industry lobbyists are heavily lobbying these career politicians. And then they have been trying to defund and dismantle the EPA, of which my opponent has introduced legislation that would actually do that. And so as they're gutting the teeth of the EPA, there's really no regulatory framework in which to protect our families. And so what I would propose as a physician is, one, that we fully fund the EPA to ensure that we're actually taking action, not to just research these chemicals, but to actually put some teeth into the regulatory framework to hold companies like DuPont and Chemours accountable. And then also, we need to track. The CDC has what's called an environmental public health tracking network. There are federal programs like this that are opportunities to link conditions that we might be seeing in this area, cancers or endocrine, maybe thyroid disruption. We can track that from the county public health department level and then track that with the toxin or the exposure and see that in the East, where we have Gen X in the water, we're seeing cases that match the animal models for that. Whereas, you know, right next to our coal ash pits where they have hexavalent chromium, they're seeing a different pattern of cancers. That's a pretty ironclad case to know what we should be looking for in terms of public health risks. And as we're looking at litigation potentially or trying to hold these corporate polluters accountable.
Should you become the next representative of District 7, what would be the top few issues that you'd focus on first as you made the trip to Washington?
Yeah, so I think the first few things that need to happen in Washington is, one, we need a massive infrastructure bill, and we need to invest in building opportunity for all Americans. What has been happening is a tide of basically hoping that wealth will trickle down. We need to rebuild this country from the bottom up and the middle class out. The tax scam is a good example of where the tax bill, the cuts were made permanent for the wealthiest corporations, but only temporary for middle and working class families. Only about 8 cents on the dollar is going to end up in the pocket of American workers, is what the CEOs had said when they were surveyed, whereas 14 cents and 22 cents are going to go to stock buybacks and dividends. This, well, roughly half of Americans don't even own any stock. Well, we can no longer afford to have an economy that doesn't invest in creating good-paying jobs. So my top priorities would be investing in infrastructure, which would include bringing our roads, bridges, and dams up to snuff here in Eastern North Carolina, and then also connecting families with Wi-Fi. In rural parts of the county, they're being left behind with broadband and basic internet, which also creates challenges in education and in healthcare. And then, obviously, in healthcare, we have got to stabilize our marketplaces to save lives right now. So that's why I'd be working on lowering the Medicare eligibility age and creating a public option to cover more Americans while we stabilize those marketplaces. And then prioritizing working towards a system that covers every American, likely through a Medicare for all. And then the final thing that would be my priority is what we talked about in terms of protecting clean, healthy, and safe environments. What we're seeing with the CAFOs in Eastern North Carolina, what we're seeing with Gen X, is there are challenges throughout the state of North Carolina that are fundamentally risking our kids' health. And what we need is a next generation of leaders who will prioritize public health.
Dr. Kyle Horton is running for the U.S. House of Representatives, District 7 in North Carolina. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me. And I'd like to invite everyone to follow the campaign at drkyleforcongress.com.